SB Nation Radio, Scott Jackson and Mike Prada here with you, and our pleasure to bring in Ken Morongolo from Hogs Haven and SB Nation DC columnist who joins us here on the show. And how you doing today, Ken?
Fantastic, Scott. How you guys doing today?
We're doing great. We're wanting to find out what the reaction has been, especially on the Hogs Haven site where so many Redskin fans go, to the McNabb controversy this week on the benching. What side have the fans come down on this one?
Well, people have been felt very refreshed to not be debating Haynesworth for the week, which has been very, very nice. But I'll tell you what, people are up in arms. The main sentiment that I think I can convey, the common ground that's shared by essentially all of our readers, is we seemed to have something kind of going. We were going in a direction. Whether you could say we were building a lot of momentum at 4-4, and with the way McNabb was playing, I think the overriding sentiment is, with 2 minutes left in the game, right before our bye week, what's the point of essentially taking a sledgehammer to that foundation that was being constructed?
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. You know, whether you agree with it or not, it's like, you know, it's a weird time, you know, to make that decision. Why do it then? And why not do it at like halftime if you're really upset with how he's played?
Yeah, you know, and if you believe what you hear, that he was falling out of favor prior to that week, his numbers are what they are. You know, it's no shock that he's not lighting the league on fire, that there's some unhappiness on the offensive coaching staff. Then you get to the post game and he gives you any number of answers, you know, on Sunday and Monday as to why he did it. Shanahan is gonna do what he does. He gets paid to make the big decisions, and I don't think he necessarily cares sometimes where the chips fall. But to Redskins fans, this is a big deal. This is a guy we gave up a second-round draft pick for last year. We have a future draft pick invested in him. He's not signed beyond this season. He is one of, if not the best quarterback we've had, you know, which isn't saying much, but it's saying a lot. And, and here we are again trying out Jamarcus Russell, and we got guys like Rex Grossman in the fold. And, you know, where are we going?
Ken Morongolo is with us here from Hogs Haven and SB Nation columnist with us here on 106.7 The Fan, SB Nation Radio. Well, Ken, what is the reaction to of, we were talking about this earlier with Grant. I don't find too many people to think there's any future with Donovan McNabb beyond this season with the Redskins.
No, it doesn't seem that way. I remain optimistic that something can be worked out if we have a big run towards the end and things do start gelling more. But you got a guy like Jake Plummer coming out this week and suggesting that, you know, this is just the way he does things. Donovan McNabb will most likely have other opportunities. I don't think it's realistic to think of him as our quarterback for the next few years, which is troubling. But hey, you know, he's what 20? He's like the 25th rated quarterback or somewhere in that neighborhood. In the NFL this year, you know, maybe his value just isn't where he thinks it is, and maybe Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen and Mike Shanahan come in, you know, with an offer at the end of this season that is better than what another team offers him. And if it is his last contract, maybe that's what gets him to stay. But at this point in time, you know, everything you hear, everything you read suggests that he's gone.
Switching gears for a second, because I'm sure you're tired of talking about McNabb. I'm tired of talking about McNabb. One thing I want to ask you is, Randy Moss goes on waivers this week. And the Redskins, of course, really are lacking at receiver. But they decide not to make a claim for him, you know, along with 30 other teams. But still, you know, I thought they should have at least taken a look for just 1 year, because with the wide-open NFC, you know, he really does fill one need. What's your take on the Moss thing? Should they have made a claim for him, or did they make the right decision to pass on him?
I couldn't feel stronger about them passing on Randy Moss. I think he'd be our best receiver talent-wise if the second he walked in the door. But, you know, we're not 1 year away. We're not one player away. I like what we're doing, developing a guy like Anthony Armstrong. I think you bring in Randy Moss, you do some damage there. Not suggesting that Anthony Armstrong is, you know, our future stud. But we don't develop wide receivers. You know, the guy, the blue chippers we have brought in haven't worked out. And Anthony Armstrong has done something that first year receivers in this town have failed to do for quite some time, and that's get on the field. And I want them to continue to going in that direction. I don't think Randy Moss comes in and makes us necessarily any better unless he can play right tackle or right guard. I don't think he's that much of an upgrade on our offense, because I don't know how a quarterback's going to get him the ball. You know, we our problems are so much more than one guy. You know, a one-year answer is what we've been looking for 10 years, and finally, whether this is the move that signifies that they're understanding that that's not the way you do it or not, you know, we can't go for one-year answers. We're not one player away. We're not one guy away. We're not 1 year away. We have to stay the course, so to speak. Stay medium, you know, to use the
I miss that phrase.
It can't be about Randy Moss.
Ken Marangola is with us from Hogshaven, D.C. SB Nation columnist as well with us here on SB Nation Radio on 106.7 The Fan. Scott Jackson and Mike Prater with you. All right, halfway point of the season, the Redskins, you know, at 4-4. You know, for me, I thought they're going to be an 8-8 team, so I guess they're on course at this point. But I guess the maddening thing, Ken, is the games they've won, of course, the opponents they've beat, and the ones they've lost to. It's kind of typical of what we've seen over the years here with this team, play up or play down to competition, however you want to look at it. What have you thought about it so far? Are they where you thought they would be, or are they a little bit behind?
I predicted them to go 10-6. I was a little glasses half full, rosy glasses, I'm sure. As everyone knows, you know, I tend to be overly optimistic. But it's interesting you talk about those teams that we lose to. In the opening season, you know, the preseason magazine, I made a point to suggest that, you know, when you see Detroit and St. Louis on your schedule every year, and you build a rivalry against those teams, there's only one reason why. And it's the same reason why Indianapolis and New England play each other every year, or the New York Giants, you know, and the Minnesota Vikings play each other every year. When you finish at the same level as the Detroit Lions and the St. Louis Rams on an annual basis, and you're playing them every year, that's a bad thing. And if you're losing to them every year, that's even worse. You know, the fact that we keep playing, you know, we remain in the basement in the NFC East, and we play the other basement teams in the NFC, and we don't do well against them, is just a kick to the groin. And to watch these guys show up against the better teams, I was in stands, I saw that Texans game, I saw the Green Bay game, and the Colts game, and you saw games we were in and fought hard for. There's still so much we don't know about this team, except for one thing. You know, we know that we're not the class of the conference. With the Giants playing the way they are right now, we're certainly not the class of the division. And as long as that's the case, you know, you could say we're behind because we are. But I think there's a lot of promise. You see guys like Brandon Banks, Anthony Armstrong, Ryan Terrain on offense, and you see other guys who are playing better on defense this year. LaRon Landry, I think Rocky McIntosh is quietly putting something together. I like some of the pieces that are falling into place that could be pieces we build around, in subsequent drafts. The value of a guy like Anthony Armstrong, is he the greatest receiver? No, but he allows Bruce Allen next draft to suggest that we don't have to draft a wide receiver right away. We can address the offensive line because we have, you know, a warm body who has some experience. So you could say we're a little bit behind at 4-4. You know, I think we would have taken 4-4 at the beginning of the season. I think we can do better. I'm optimistic that we will do better. I still see this team making the playoffs, and as I said before, it ain't no big feat in the NFC. It's like the community college of playoffs. You know, you spell your name right on the application, you're probably going to get in. So we'll take that for what it is. Maybe get some experience and build for next year.
What is your kind of, I guess, biggest positive surprise of the season, and what is your biggest negative surprise of the season?
Well, you know, the one that jumps right out is Brandon Banks for me. You know, I've spent the last 3 years wondering aloud if Antoine Randall-El had naked pictures of somebody in that building, because they kept him in the game for so long, and he did so little. I did not understand it. And you see the difference that's made when you put a guy in like Brandon Banks, you know, whether it's because he's hungry, whether because he has that intangible thing that makes him great. You know, he changes the field position. He takes it to the house. You know, he is a huge, huge bright spot for this team right now. And, you know, on the negative side, you know, it's the distractions that plague this franchise. I've said it a number of times, you know, when your organization is in disarray, it shows up on the field on Sundays. You know, when things aren't going right in various corners and in nooks and crannies of your franchise and the organization, I believe you can see it on Sundays. And, you know, the Shanahan-Hainsworth thing, now the Donovan McNabb thing, you know, these things that – that we just always seem to have the self, very much self-inflicted type of wounds, you know. And until we shake this, until we look at other organizations, the Colts, the Patriots, to some degree, even these days, the Giants, you know, but these teams that seem to take things in stride, that they handle things in house, things don't become soap operas and dramas. And you see that stability play out on Sundays. And so, you know, I'm still a little disappointed that we continue to do that to ourselves.
All right. Hey, Ken, great stuff. Ken Marangola from Hogs Haven and SB Nation DC columnist. Appreciate your time here on SB Nation Radio. We'll do it again sometime soon. Thanks a lot.
All right, you guys have a great weekend.
All right, coming up, we're going to get into some college hoops. Testudo Times' David Tucker joins us here on SB Nation Radio on 106.7 The Fan.